Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. Yes. You're very welcome, Auntie Risa. Yeah, that was an interesting testimony. And like my husband said, 35 years. Hey! What happens in 35 years is that you're either still married or married and backslidden. And also, I remembered a friend of mine talking about, and I think I've said it before in the marriage fellowship, that marriage gets to a point where that there is a stage called when we're going to say. That stage is not written in the books, many of the Muzungu books you read. But when you find yourself, Auntie and I were supposed to have marriage fellowship today and it's postponed. So when you find yourself saying, Newa no when to say, Nga, that is the way you start every sentence. Just know that that is the stage where you are. Glory to God. Yes, that stage can find you at 14 years. It can find you at 10. But from experience, from what I've seen, not my experience, but from what I've seen, nowadays, when a woman to say comes like in the second or third year of marriage. So people who are not yet married and people who are newly married, please watch out for that stage. Make sure that when you get to that stage called when a woman to say, you know these things that Balokole asks, so in what season are you? What is the Lord telling you in this season? For some marriage, they're like, unze ndimu season ya wano wentu se. And they cannot say anything else. So yeah, I'm grateful to God that, oh, we are so many today. We are so many today, and I don't think it's because of Auntie Risa. Yeah, Auntie Risa is just one, but I don't know why we are full. But it's good to be in the presence of God. Amen. Yes, Bob, my Obi, and our dear wife, it's good to see you once again. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, so last week we talked about push, praying until something happens. And that, like many of the sermons that we share here in LAT, we have said before, we don't conjure them up. I don't call pastor and say, "Kati pastor bado gambachi." He doesn't call me when he's going to preach. I don't call Rachel. I don't call Esther, the point ministry. No, we actually go and seek God. So last week, the reason why we talked about push, which means pray until something happened, I hope we all read, or most of us read the word for the week. By show of hands, how many of us read the word for the week? You're so discouraged. Again, put up your hands. How many of us read the word for the week? Bob? Just can't see me. I can see you behind there. Brian, don't be very serious. You didn't read the word for the week. You didn't put up your hand. He's trying to be like as if he's remembering. This thing goes out once a week. So you either read it or you didn't read it. Yeah? So I'll share again. And I'll start from there just to give us a recap. Last week I preached. But before preaching, I was just asking God, what am I going to tell your people? And then I had a dream. And in that dream, I was standing in front of church, like I am now, and I was telling you, the congregants, or people who had come to church, that today we are going to, the sermon is going to be titled, PUSH. That is, it's an acronym for Pray Until Something Happens. Then I got into my Bible, looking for 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And then the dream ended. When I awoke, I was like, hey, God, what can I possibly tell any LAT member? What can I tell any LAT member about praying? Why? Because in my opinion, which could be carnal, or Jendabako is that every one of us here prays. Glory to God. Clap for yourselves. So I had issues with God. I said, God, how am I going to tell people to pray until something? What am I going to tell them about prayer? It's like teaching the worship team about worship. You can't, like they say, teach the Pope catechism, really, yeah? So is it a carnal dream? Is it? But then before going to bed, I wasn't even thinking about, because I'd planned something else. Then I receive a message from Olive, who also had a dream, which was in that line, where in the dream, there were adults who had gone to the children's church to just join them. And then they found, like usually in the children's church, we usually do, because they are children, you need to give them breaks. You cannot talk 2 hours nonstop. You also know your children. You know, Christine, don't you know Raphael? Can you talk to him for 2 hours nonstop? Absolutely not. So sometimes, yes, Miriam, you know Ado. You know. Yeah? So we always give them breaks, stretch breaks, or any other break. So in Teacher Olive's dream, Olive Namtebi, she said that we found when they were now having a stretch break. And in the stretch break, she was leading them on how to stretch. So she first stretched her hands apart, and then the children stretched, but the adults were not really stretching. Then she put their hands up. Now, she said that she noticed that what happened was, from putting their hands across, like on the cross, both of them, when she was taking them up, the adults, or most of the people who were there, thought that she was actually going to touch her knees. And so they missed it. So while her hands were up, she was actually touching her knees. And then later she tells the children, and she tells us, I was there. Actually, she said Sam was there, Geraldine was there, Pastor was there, and I was there. Then she says, you know, don't take, like, listen, learn to listen to instructions. Don't take things for granted, yeah? And then that part ended, and then we came back to the adult church. So when I read that dream, I was like, God, you're telling me not to get so familiar with things, all right? With things that you think you know. Then you start to feel so familiar. Many times, he who thinks that he knows actually knows not. I remember that saying in literature. He who knows that he knows actually knows not. It's about something like that. So the thing that you think you know, be very careful. You may not actually know. So last Sunday when I preached, at the end of the service, what's her name? Bridget. Yes. Bridget, who usually sits around there, she didn't come today, came and showed me something on her phone, which really blessed me. And it was one of the scriptures which I had used lightly. Luke 18, verses 1, where Jesus was telling his disciples that men ought to pray and not lose heart. Glory to God. She said, can you imagine? She's like, today this is what, I think it's an app and they keep sending them daily. They keep sending out daily verses. And she's like, can you imagine today when I open my Bible, my app, this is what was there and you actually talked about it. Yeah? So I was really, really amazed at the confirmation. For me, I left that day knowing that we should take these things seriously. Glory to God. Some things are not simple as we think they are. But more than that, as the week went on, I kept on seeking God. What is it exactly? Why do you want us to pray persistently or consistently? Why do you want us not to lose heart? And something really lightened my heart up. And that was because God wants to fulfill the promise he has given you. Hallelujah. And he wants you to keep fort. He wants you to hold on. Meaning that by your prayers, something will happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, L.A.T. By your prayers, something will happen. You know, God is almighty. And he can actually do these things without you. Without you. But by the time he says, pray. Men ought to pray and not lose heart. Oh, and he says, pray when Paul tells us to pray in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he tells us to pray unceasingly. Hey, I'm looking for the scripture. Yes, pray without ceasing. There is a reason as to why. Because God depends on you. We are co-partners, we are fellow workers with God. And so he depends on you not to give up. Glory to God. So the flip side of it, when you think about it, just critically, you realize that actually God is working. God is doing something. And now he has not revealed it to you. But at least you take it from the fact that he wants you to listen to this sermon, the fact that he's actually working on something. So my question to you today is that, will you pray unceasingly? Will you continue holding fort or being in a posture of prayer? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I told my husband what I was going to preach, and then we talked about it briefly. But then I'm like, later I told him, that changed. Because as I thought about it through that, he's like, hey, he got shocked. He's like, why? And now that he's looking at me, I remembered something. I digress. So my husband takes his children, the boys. So he takes the boys for a haircut over the weekend. And so they come back home after they've shaved their heads and what, we're getting ready for school tomorrow. So in the car, he tells Manzi, who is nine, yeah. He tells Manzi that, you know, when you keep cutting your hair, it will grow. I think Manzi wanted a little more hair to be left, yeah. So he didn't quite agree with whatever was left on his head. So he tells him, you know what, the more you cut your hair, the more it grows. So of course Kwez is listening. Then Manzi tells my husband that, but for you, you have been cutting your hair. We are not seeing growth. The hair is not growing. How did that conversation end? It just ended there. And there was no chivoko. You just continued driving. So, yes, but prayer is not like that. That when you invest in it, you don't get results. Hallelujah. Yes, so some of the things we tell our children, they will start challenging you because they actually need coherent answers. Here, you have shaved him clean, yeah? He didn't even want to be shaved that clean. And now you're telling him that the more you cut his hair, it will grow. But you are a perfect example of what he should not, or someone who shouldn't be cutting their hair. So it was such an interesting conversation. And then they come and they tell me at home. So pray until something happens. Hallelujah. And the reason, I'll say it right at the start, the reason God sent us this message, I am convinced that God is working on something, and that by your prayers, by your persistent prayer, or by your persistent being in that posture of prayer, something will happen. Glory to God. We know that as Christians, before something happens means occurs. Happens means something that has physical evidence. Happens means manifestation of your promises. We know that by the time your promise is manifested, there was something already going on in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And this is the reason why men ought to pray and not lose heart. There are so many reasons as to why people lose heart. People lose heart because, first of all, maybe there's a delay. Maybe they've gotten an answer that they don't want to hear. Or maybe they have just gotten out of the body of believers. They are lone rangers. There is no encouragement. Eh? So you go out there, maybe kusabula tugende, because you left the church. Or people, there are so many reasons as to why we lose heart in prayer. But also we know that there are things that we will pray for, we will travail for, and those things take time. But Nang, if you ever get to a place where you think that your salvation starts and ends with you, or the prayer requests you have begin and end with you, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. I look at our parents. I look at Auntie Risa now, Mama there. There are things, I wanted to put in someone else, but I was like, ataja kunsonyua. But you know, there are things that even up to now, they are praying, for example, for their children. Things that take a long time, you know? And there are things, man, when I hear my mom, she calls me and she's like, now, nabaning shabira, da 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 da. As in she's praying and she's telling me the thing she's praying for. I'm like, but does this parenting thing ever end? Does this prayer thing ever end? Yeah? So now, instead of her, yes, she prays for her health, but you now find her praying for me, her grandchildren. And then for her, she even goes into the detail. A lot more detail than me, yeah? Every time she calls and she asks you a very random question about her grandchild. Hey, you know, the last time when we spoke, you said this and this, but how is he? You're like, but you are. Like, how many generations apart are we? And let me tell you, she may not understand all your Kampala life. Eh? Are you loaded, not loaded? Are they working on which road? Nam, what? Remember Nam? Eh? Nam, then about what? She doesn't know those things. She doesn't know those things. Yeah, potholes. Because for her, she stays that side in the village where, you know, she's near her plantation, she's near her things. But you know what? She still prays. Now there is a day she called me. Said, hey, I've noticed this and this. Eh? You really haven't had a job for a long time. Now, of course, when she says a job for us, she means an 8-to-5 job. She's like, but you know, there is a pastor that I pray with. Eh? So I was talking to the pastor about you. I'm like, uh-huh. Then she says, Kati, he told me to give you his number. I gave him your number. I'm like, uh-huh. Then she told me, now, here is his number. You call him, musabeko about this what? This matter. My mother is praying for me. You guys, I'm over 40. She's praying for me to get an 8-to-5 job. So I was like, when does this end? Yeah, it never ends. So there are things that we have to stay persistent for in prayer. And these things take time. They take generations. But I said it before and I will say it again. I was taught in full gospel, esala tevunda. It has no expiry date. Your prayers are stored up in heaven. And some of you are here because of the prayers your parents made. Glory to God. Some of you will attest to the fact that, you know, there are some things, the very first thing that comes to my mind, even when you read that story that men pray and not to lose hope, the context actually is in the coming back, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But for the purposes of not losing heart, I'll bring it up, yeah? There's things like salvation where some of you, I've heard stories. You've even testified here that you were a total prayer, like you were prayer request, you were prayer answered. In fact, we were local. Everyone said, oh, thank you, Lord. Or you are local, say. You were a terrorist. Yeah? But it took prayers of Omutuju. And the only thing that your parents would do or say is that, oh, your mom knows you. To musabide busabizi. And then the parent goes to church And then they pray for you. And then they pray for you. They pray for that problem child. They pray for that problem child. And then eventually there is a turnaround. Glory to God. So when we have people that we are praying, for example, praying for salvation for a family member, a friend, don't give up. Keep holding forth. Glory to God. Yes, they will come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or they'll be given and many more opportunities to come to the Lord. Amen. Yes, so I want to talk about what people, the common misconceptions about prayer, praying until something happens. Many times we think that when someone says pray unceasingly, or when we read and pray unceasingly, or pray until something happens, we tend to think that you think that you persist enough in prayer, don't give up, press God, muteke ku pressure, that even when he says no, you still exert so much pressure until you get what you want. But pray until something happens is not that. You know that even when God gives you the answer no, something happens. Glory to God. When he says that door, I'm going to close it. He has closed the door. Something has happened. But because God is good, that even in his no, he is actually saving you. So praying until something happens doesn't mean going and insist. You've had a very clear no. Now, let me really qualify this. That there are some things you pray to God about and he'll say no. No. When Moses was told he's not going to enter the promised land, the Bible says Moses, the intercessor, went to God, I think, 3 times. And until God said, I don't want to hear that anymore. Closed. Deal. Done. Chiwe de. But you know what? What did he call? Moses persisted until he got to that answer where God is like, no. So even you and I, is there anything in your life that you need to hear God on? It could be a no. When God tells you no, say, you know what? Thank you. Let's get going. Why? Because God has something, usually something better for you, or he has something better for you. He's saving you from something. God in his sovereignty, even his no, is good. Hallelujah. So praying until something happens is not about munyige mpaka ne wagamba naye Joan this thing and sometimes it feels like that. I remember at university we had that push, pray until something happens. At that time it was under Kampala Pentecostal Church, KPC. And so we used to go there, pray until something happens. And you find that 3/4 of people are praying until something happens. Actually, they have no's from God. Yeah? People are praying about relationships, kamama, kalaba, ka prayer, seka, kalaba. And God is saying, no, please, concentrate on your studies. But the guy is there, pray until something. You want the guy to kill himself? Yeah? They pray until, that is not praying until something happens. Glory to God. Your answer, something happening could be in form of a no. Something happening could be in form of a stupid closed door. Like God says, do you going to take? And he knows. And he's like, you know, let me save you. No. And take it. Something has happened. He has saved you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then another misconception, Matthew 6:7. It says, and when you pray, Jesus is telling his disciples, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God has told us to pray until something happens. Don't think that you'll be heard by your many words. But this is, he is addressing the heathen, the one who is not born again, the one who is not led by the Spirit of God. So some people think that praying until something happens is going to God and mentioning the thing, God, this, like you bring up, like you become like a lawyer. saying the one thing in 100 different ways. Yeah? Then you say, nekati this. Then, now let me tell you, I know that helped. That is very clear in the Bible, and this is why we should embrace them when they come. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 39:44. Coming out, he went to the Mountain of Olives, and as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Until then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I think Mark talks about Jesus praying three times. He prayed until the angel of God came and something happened. He was strengthened. And sometimes when we push, God may not take away the thing. But do you know what? Something will happen to you. God will strengthen you to stand. Glory to God. God will strengthen you to stand, especially when it is his will. He will strengthen you to stand. When I read this, every time I remember this, I remember the very one and only time when I had an angel appear to me. And from that time, me and God sorted apparitions. Those appearances of, I love them. I love to hear. I love to hear when pastor has got them. But being there, So this one time, there is something that I was praying to God about. And I was in this period of push. As like, God, I need this. So I would enter my car. That time fuel wasn't at 5K. It was like 3-something. So I would enter my car, go to Entebbe, not Prayer Mountain, but a certain place in Entebbe. And I would sit and pray. I would sit and pray over and over again. Now I knew it was the will of God. What I was praying for, because I had dreams, but things were really not adding up. So I was telling God, you know, in my prayer time, yeah, ngatira ko, like, show me the move, eh? So those are things that I just felt I have. I don't know if you feel sometimes like that. You have all these dreams, but you need to chart them and say, okay, this one connects to this at this time, like this, because of. So I was in that, you know, and I needed to see God's face. So I went, I sat. Now, where I sat, there was in, I, it's, it, if some of you have been there, it's Botanical Gardens, they put seating places that are made out of concrete so people can sit there. So I sat and then I was looking at the lake. Mm-hmm. There was no one swimming. So I sat and now I started praying. I prayed in tongues, stood up. I hope this thing doesn't fall. Stood up, sat again, prayed, stood, sat, prayed. You know, and all this time, I am praying in tongues. Then I hear, like, movement behind me. I hear movement behind me, and I'm thinking, people don't usually pass here. It's now time check. It's about like 2. There were no fishermen at that time. Because they usually fish either in the morning or in the evening. So I hear, you know, like when you hear someone moving behind you. Ho! I was like, what is going on here? The guy came so close to me. You people, if this is Joan, the guy came close to me like this. That for me, you know, I turned, looked at him. I was just waiting for a dagger or something to take me out. I stopped praying. Then I turned and asked him, "What do you want?" And the guy told me, Nakuulido saba. Nzize kuyamba. He was dressed normally. Normally. Like he just had shoes. He said, Nakuulido saba. Nzize kuya. He's talking like this. He's here. Yeah? You guys. I turned and looked at him. And then he said, yeah, nzize kuyamba. Then he walked away. I looked at the guy walk. I was waiting for him to disappear like, poof! Yeah? You know those things of, huh? Because I knew what had happened. But the guy went. Then he went. He passed through some trees. And I couldn't see him anymore. Nakwata akatabo kange. With the Bible. Micah was nearby. You guys, I don't know, but I think I flew into the driver's seat. I was like, Sijja kudayo, bwendi banzizeyo. I'll make sure I pray where people are. Over, you know, those things of secluding yourself. Nabimala, you know. Eh? That was the first and the last time I saw God, like, you know, angelic help. And I thank God that he didn't come with angel wings. I don't know. I think he didn't come in all the angelic glory. Eh? I think God knew what, God knows what you can take. Yeah? So imagine he had come like an angel, but what? Shiny things. Man, I would have just died. Omutima gwandi stopping. Zepa. Do you know? The way I drove in silence. Usually I would drive to Entebbe praying or worshiping, and I would come back worshiping. This time, even the radio was off, I reached home, I told my husband, Sidayo. Guess what? Sidayo. So I narrated to him what actually happened. It was in 2018. You people, let me tell you something. When we pray, for us who are believers, who are heathens, who are not heathens, we have help from heaven. Glory to God. So when you're praying until something happens, you're not doing it mumani go. Yes, I had taken off time, but I still needed. I'm full in prayer, but you still need spiritual help. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when this guy came to help me, I wasn't tired. My body wasn't tired. Bienalin sabi, I was in tongues. But man, this angel, that was the first. I told God, no, it's okay. Birekenga. I'll just be praying. Now I know that angels are there when we pray. You know, yeah? And that time, I used to read so much about angels. I used to read Anna Rountree books. I would read, I Believe in Visions. I would read, there is a book about angels. I keep forgetting. Angels on a mission, yeah? On assignment. So I had read, man, I was consuming a lot of those things. And God is like, Kali, let me give you an experience. But even up to now, I thank God that that angel appeared. I thank God for what he told me, that when I stand here to talk to you about help in prayer, I know it. And from that time, I was like, you know what, God? Praying, yawning, praying, what? No, because oli kumulimu. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why I feel bad when I can't make it, for example, for a prayer meeting, because I'm like, ha. I remember that thing. I'm like, okay, God, you may not show me the angel, but I don't want to miss Kale. But yeah. So I feel like the things I'm talking about now, I want to encourage you that when we pray until something happens, we are not like the heathens who will be heard because we're repeating our words. Why? Because, first of all, the heathen doesn't have, the people who are not born again don't have the Spirit of God. Glory to God. If when God hears them, it's because he is merciful. But the prayer, a spirit-led prayer, the prayer of you and I is totally different. Hallelujah. It is different. Glory to God. Amen. And we see that Jesus had his experience. Yawaguza, by the way. Jesus knew that he was going to die. He knew his Father's will, but he needed something. So God said, okay, I'm going to strengthen you for this hour. And the Bible clearly says, as you read, that after he had been strengthened by the angel, what does it say? He prayed even more earnestly. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want you to know that even when you're praying, even when you're being persistent in prayer, consistent until you see your promises come to pass, you're not doing it alone. You are not doing it alone. The Holy Spirit is there to help us pray. Glory to God. Amen. Another reason why we should actually continue praying is because, let's go to Hebrews 7:25. It says, Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you know that in heaven, Jesus is praying until something happens? Jesus himself, the man Jesus himself, is praying until something happens. He's doing ministry of intercession for souls and for so many other things that may be even too complex for us to understand. But at least we know that Jesus, if Jesus is praying, if he's always making intercession, if he's not loose, do you know what it means to pray? And then before you know it, they roll out COVID. Before you know it, they roll out the LGBTQ, whatever. Before you know it, Ukraine and Russia. Before you know it, bombing in Israel. But Jesus is always making intercession. Hallelujah. Jesus himself, Kakatigwe, who are you? First, tell him your credentials. He is in heaven in all that glory, but he is pushing. He is praying until he returns here. Glory to God. He is praying for you and I to go through the tribulation. Glory to God, Sam. Glory to God. He is praying for you. He's praying for the saints to go through the tribulation. He's praying that you will not give up. He's praying that you stay saved. Glory to God. That you stay saved, even in your marriage. Hallelujah. When Aunt Teresa was talking about how she knows how to kill her husband, I'm like, I don't know so much. For me, I don't know. In fact, I felt like I need to come up also with a list. Aunt Teresa, I'll come to you and you share. But when you share, please share both. Kubanga nyinzo genda, I can go to, and then things backfire and someone doesn't come back. The only thing I said, if I kill, the only thing for me Joan can do is maybe I can pray for resurrection. But supposing the guy doesn't resurrect, who will take his son for a haircut? I'm like, So, you kill with love. That's the death you want. How many men here want to be killed with love? Put up your hands. Don't pretend. Because when we stop doing these things, then you start taking us to the counselor, you start putting us in marriage fellowship. Now, there are some of our friends. Now, if you want to be killed with love, put up your hand and be confident. Mukama agenda kudame nesale agenda. You're going to miss out. Esale. She's already killing you. Is already killing Bruce. How many men have died here with love? How many men are dying? Bob, you're not saying pastor is dying. Pastor yakafa, because of his 14 years. But I want people who celebrated an anniversary like last year. Bob, are you dead? How long have you been dead because of love? Like 4 months. Please clap for Belinda. Killing a man for 4 months with love is not a very easy thing. Yeah? And Pastor Atepasa has just died. Yeah? So, with love, of course. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know if I can... There are some people, you want to kill them, but they keep resurrecting. You want to kill them, but they... They can't... You're like, Kale, you leave. So, the truth is, Jesus is always interceding for you. And Jesus is always working. So, the implication to us, LAT, I'll say it again. God is working on your staff. Please, let it be another reason as to why you didn't get a manifestation of your promise. But let that reason not be that you gave up praying, that you lost heart. Please, God is working. Now, do your part. Hallelujah. Then the last thing is that when we are persistent in prayer, when we push until something happens, there are two things that can happen. You will have a manifestation. You could have a manifestation. Almost you will have a manifestation of your promise because God gave it to you. He's not going to renege on his word. But also, when we persist in prayer, it changes us. Hallelujah. It changes you. And that is the part. Yeah. And sometimes prayer changes you when you don't know. You know? You don't know that, Runalimuka. Like Pastor said here that people who know me, they know really that I'm difficult to live with. Nga Pastor, yeah, in his heart, yeah, why he has VVIP seat, mubasajia bazibu. Yeah? But I believe that when we persist in prayer, hallelujah, that seat may be left for now somebody else. Yeah? And he becomes better. Glory to God. So we see that. I've given you an example. When Jesus Christ was strengthened, the thing didn't go away, what he was going to go through, but he received strength. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. This is Paul talking about how he also pushed. And listen to what happened to Paul. And he said to me, after praying to God, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul at this time had had something that was buffeting him. It was a physical thing, a disease or something, or a spirit that would be sent, to oppress him in some way. So Paul goes to God and he's like, chije wo. And God is like, he first keeps quiet. The third time God tells him, no. My strength is being made perfect in your weaknesses. Hallelujah. When the thing doesn't change, God works on you. Glory to God. I have seen and we can testify here that for sometimes the truth is, let me tell you about locally, you will have no for answers from God. You don't want to hear that. Even me, I don't want to hear a no from God. But it's the reality. But it's a no that gives hope. It's a no that is a good no. Like God is not there, kuniga, like God is not there to say kati, like kukule mesa, he's not of malicious intent towards you. So when he tells you no, I'm not going to give you this promotion, not now. Yeah, I'm not going to promote you now. You should be like, okay, God, I know that you want the best for me. There's a friend of ours who we were talking to yesterday, and he was signing his contract, a new contract. But when I get this guy, you know, if nation was a word, was a person, this guy would be a person. He'll be nation. He entered the banking sector as a teller. He moved through the ranks. Then he got to a place where he was now a relationship manager, earning change banks here and there, but still remain. You know when you make horizontal movements, they are not vertical. You just change from one bank to another, but you're still at the same level. This guy stayed in that place for a very, very long time. In the meantime, his wife was just going up, 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 and up. Now, last year, he was acting. He was given a role to act in for some time. Ah, the guy was happy. It was a bigger role. Now it was a vertical movement. It was bigger than where he was, so he was really happy. He shared the news with my husband. We're all happy for him. And the guy acted for a long time. But let me tell you, corporate systems are interesting. Never let a young chap over from where? This guy had even done the interview for that job. And if I remember him telling us that he was even the best, he was the best. The guy was sure, this job is mine. I mean, I've been acting for an entire year. I've been, I've exceeded the targets. I'm what? Everyone knows me, as in everyone in the bank knew him. And it's like, now that is his what? Yeah. Then the bank did a number on him. They call this, there's something called group. Group is, I think, an evil caliber of people in banks, because they sit in Oba wherever and they make decisions oblivious of Omuntu Wawansi. So group never wanted to hear that this guy had been acting. Group never wanted to hear. Group had a political agenda. They bring a kid, someone younger than him. And they say, now this is your boss. Guess now they told him to what? To Katadeo, Adeyeri, where he was. After the guy has expended all his energy, he has made all these things. They what? Even when he was actually acting in that capacity, I don't know that his salary was increased or he was even given an allowance. But the guy stuck in there. He's like, Kale, for me, I want the job. Yeah? And guess what? Group comes with a young kid. Yeah? And says, now this guy, I think he told us he's 31. This guy is now my boss. And now this guy is, I think, even older than Sam. He's like, Kale laba guy, he's my boss. And now this Gen Z, I think he told us something to do with that. That now I think there is a move in the corporate world where now they are seemingly promoting more Gen Zs in those big positions, yeah? Because they think big, they are quick, they are what? But Pastor, me and you and I, ne Sam, ne Mr. Minister Mujimba, ne Christine Simanyi. Because for us there, we seem to, you can be irrelevant. So they bring this Gen Z guy. The guy starts blasting. So he showed us a trail of emails that the Gen Z guy had told him. Now, one even made me laugh. He said, if you don't meet your targets in the next so-and-so period, we are going to reassess your capabilities. And we are going to find a job, family, a position that is befitting of your capabilities. I looked at, I said, in a God. This guy, how he acted for over a year. This Gen Z depends on him even for information. But Gen Z woku computer saying we are going to assess your abilities and find a job, whatever that. He said, you people. So he goes on leave towards the end of the what? The year. He said, I cannot take it anymore. He goes on leave. So as he's on leave, he gets an opportunity where he does an interview in another organization. And then while he's on leave, they call him and tell him, yeah, you are successful. Please come and pick your letter. He said the way he walked in there with his letter. He was like, ndiko nobumansuka because. And then, I saw, I think Sam told me the salary, very good money, a new thing and what. So I told Sam, as going back home, I was like, according to heaven, God had signed that guy out, I think, the day that Gen Z walked into that office. But you do not know those things. God didn't tell him, because I asked him. So he was testifying and telling. So I'm like, so when do you think God started working on this thing? And he said, actually, I don't know. Then I told him that maybe, could have been that by the time, according to heaven's progi, By the time this person was coming, God was already seeing you in another position, in another organization, but he just didn't tell you. Yeah? So this is why we should actually pray and not give up. Don't go with what you see in the physical. Though sometimes the things in the physical are discouraging. You people, sometimes the things in the physical are discouraging. You come here, you're telling people to pray, but you're like, man, So, and it happens to everyone. Every mighty man of God has had a moment of discouragement. Every mighty woman of God has had a no or a door shut in your face. Every person has gone through that. So you know that you won't be the first person. You won't be the first person. But guess what? The thing that I realized these God's generals do, they kept praying. Their children died. About what? They kept praying. They kept going on. They kept raising the dead. Keep praying. Keep pushing until something happens. Things in the physical could be very, very discouraging. And I'm telling you, they are. They are. If you're going to... Now, just giving you an example of my friend. You're believing God for the job only to be... Hey, that's an insult. And guess what? In a corporate organization, and then also, guess what? In a corporate organization, if you are in Sunshine like us, there is their monthly bulletins or newsletters. Man, something, that goes out every month, which shows executive appointments. Baby, executive appointment. You see this thing, and then there is this other person, a young guy. You are not even there. Yeah? So everyone is like, na de mani. So and so is going to be on the, Even as you go through the what? Man, guys, hard luck guy. Man, hard luck. Another time, hard luck. So this guy went through all of that, the embarrassment, that where you cannot. Then now, this Gen Z, this guy, you know those emails that are sent and they're escalated to everyone. And I'm like, but the email list was long. So I'm like, because of course he has to show that he's working, so he copies in everyone. The only person that is not copied in is the janitor. There's all these, and you see, and all those things are not what? They are not good. But so I was really encouraged by my friend's testimony to actually pray until something happened. Even when ngolabira dala echintu chifude. But when the Lord tells you no, don't come back with another argument like a lawyer. You are a child of God, you're not a lawyer. If he tells you no, seek him about something else. Okay, now, if this thing has closed, okay, now God, what? The point is maintain the posture of prayer. So, wachiba chiganye, sokatichi, don't be there. Of course, it hurts, yeah? But don't be there for a long time. Get up quickly and say, okay, now, God, that hasn't worked out. So now what next? So continue to seek God until that something happens. Now, LAT, a word from me to you. God is going to fulfill your promises. He is going to fulfill your promises. He is going to fulfill the promises he gave you. You're praying according to his will. You're not a heathen. You have the Spirit of God helping you. You have the angelic helping you, even if, Bambi, you're not seeing them. Because if you saw them, you could be like me. Yeah? But God is backing you. God is on your side. God wants to make you happy. Please, do not give up, especially for the things that you know God has spoken to you about. But also remember, don't give God time frames. You're not able to manage mutima. You say, God, for me, by the end of this year, the common joke, God, by the end of this year, if I don't have a man, you will get shocked. You've told, you will hear news. God, by the end of this year, you'll get broadcast from Earth. Yeah, Earth will be broadcasting. So don't give God time frames. You can tell him, well, I would want this to happen during this period. Or seek him, better yet, seek him about his timing. All right? And you can tell him, but don't give God ultimatum. And let me tell you also, you know, we believe the faith movement, say, dear God, dear God, tell him. Those things will break your heart. Do not start daring God. In this world, don't, please. For me, I'll tell you, L.A.T. You will dare him, it will work once. The second time it will not work because now God is like, who is God? Between you and I, who is God? And now people in the faith movement, which is not really bad because I also belong there, we all belong there. But Jesusa, tell God that by 21 days, kufa. No. Supposing he answers you on the 24th. It is his prerogative. And this is the sovereign God we serve. Yeah, and so when you come before God, me, God, if you don't give me this by this time, and that is why you hear testimonies of people who come and say, me, I had even given up because I saw the time had gone. Imagine Abraham had given God an ultimatum. God, you know that by 100, I'll be out of the system. Kakati, And also you remember you told me to leave my father's house at 75. We were evaluating how much time you have to work within to get me a child. Then you understand what I'm trying to say. You cannot give God time. You can ask him, and that is God. Maybe we have to respect God. We have to fear him like that. You can ask him and say, hey, God, I really want this and this and this. Talk to him about it. When he tells you his time, celebrate it. Sometimes he may tell you then his time, and you're like, tunatuka. I remember a promise that I was really cursing God about on the timing. The day God told me the timing, I said, even I will not be in this. Now, then I was like, now where was I even bothering to ask on that time? Because now I'm even more discouraged because I'm like, I would think about the time and it is so far. It is so, so far off. Yeah, so I'm like, at first I got discouraged, then now I encourage myself in the Lord. I'm like, hey, Kasaya, I know that time. And then I started getting. But you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't give God those ultimatums. And you will hear people, I know many of you follow upon YouTube. We follow them on YouTube, we follow them. But you people, those are more, sometimes you don't need to go to a shrine to see a witch doctor. They are there on YouTube, they are there on social media. More than the mystics, they are there. There is actually now more sorcery on social media than ever, than even in Masabo Gafewano. Glory to God. Did I say glory to God about that? And you said amen. But what I'm saying is that here you probably have 1, 2, 3, but on social media, there is a guy with the word of God. There is a guy with the word of God. How God has spoken to him. Mistakes are everywhere. Yeah? Be careful that things, by this time, then they are declaring times. The Lord has told me that by this time, I saw this is, be careful the things you watch. But my point here is, going back to push, let's not give God timings. Inquire of him his time and move with him. But don't give him an ultimatum. Mukama, sigwe, as in he's not. Like, he's not your husband, who you say, Nefet 1 or 2 or 3 at 7:30. If you're not here, Jajisang, I'm a microwave. Well, God is not like that. But for us, me or Jakunsang, I never say, No, God is not like that, please. Ate tonzu kusa, ate your hands will be cold. Ate tonkanga. Ate to take a kotala, like, God is not like that. God has to be waited for. He has to be waited for. He is God. He is sovereign. And people don't want to hear these things. God is not your age mate. God is not your size yo. Hugamba Alan, nakulinze 2 minutes by nze ngenze ye o little dawa. No. Yeah? When we are pushing until something happens, that means that there is an implication of a time frame. There is an implication of a time frame. And you have to be able to wait patiently and humbly and say, God, Kale, it is your promise. It came from you. Ngenda chirinda. Atensaze wo chirinda. You know that those things I tell my husband. Nzensaze wo kulinda. Era ngenda kulinda. I don't have any other new word. Era kati kaninde. Kaninde. So you know you're just like that, yeah? Because you can't give God a time frame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. So I hope you have been blessed. I hope we have more people coming for the prayer meetings on Thursday at 5:30. Yeah? Please come. Let us pray. Let us wait in the presence of God. Let's wait for Him to show up. Yeah? Hallelujah. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.